is. It begins to get brighter and brighter. Now, a little over a year ago, we made a trip to the East Coast. And even though I lived out there for several years, there's something that I had never seen. And that was, I'd never seen a sunrise on the ocean. I had been there at times where I could, but it was always cloudy, rainy, something, and Carl never did get to see it. So Becky and I was privileged to get us found a home-owned, local-owned motel, I guess you'd call it. And they had a room right on the ocean, oceanfront room they call it. And we got that. And so we got up the next morning before sunrise and looked out, and sure enough, it was clear. Now, this was in November, first part of November. So they had, on the ocean front, they had a row of rooms here and another row of rooms over here that faced the ocean. But in the middle, they had a breezeway and an area up here that was a kind of a tower that you could climb up in and look. Now, most of the rooms, or most of the motel, I say most of them as far as I know, they had the dunes between the motel and the ocean. This didn't. It had removed the dunes. So what you actually had was a beautiful beach all the way down the ocean. And so Becky and I, we got up and got some clothes on and headed to this deck. And I got to see something that thrilled my heart. Now this was good. But I got to look across the ocean and see the sunrise peep and keep peeping. And then also on that trip, we had a privilege. It was a full moon. So we got to see the best of both worlds, as you could say. We had the moon at night, the sun in the morning. And it was beautiful. Now, I want to go to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23 here for a little bit, and you pray for us. 2 Samuel 23, and I believe 1, we'll start reading. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my mouth, in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth other men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after the rain. Now, the natural sun is beautiful. We have to have the sun. Do you like the sun? I love a clear, still day. About the right temperature. My congregation knows every time they look out and see that, they think of me, I guess. Because I dramatize it or talk about it different times. Oh, this was my day. What would you and I do without the literal sun? Without its rays, we would be cold all the time. Without the light, we couldn't see at all. Without its warm, nothing would grow. Without its beauty, we would be sad. Without the sun, plants, grass, etc., they wouldn't revive. Without the sun, the ground wouldn't dry out after a good long rain. The sunlight has a great effect on the earth's weather. It evaporates water from the rivers, the lakes, the oceans, and this water later falls as rain or snow. As the sunlight causes wind, and people use this to turn windmills, etc., we use it to help in keeping times. We use it for the direction of east and west. So the sun, the natural sun, is valuable. It's beautiful. It's glorious, so to speak, in a natural way. And so consequently, the sun is something that you and I need to appreciate. We need to watch. One of the most descriptive times of a sunrise I've ever heard was by Paul Harvey. A number of years ago, and I wished... Yeah, come on. I wish that I had written it down or got a copy of it, and I didn't do it. But he was on his farm there. They call it Reveille, I believe, Reveille. And he gave a description sitting on his porch.
just like I did, only I wasn't outside that morning. I was standing inside. But he gave a description that was like nothing I've ever heard about the sun. It was marvelous. It was beautiful. Now then, we want to talk about the other sun. Let's go to Malachi, the fourth chapter. Malachi, the fourth chapter. I was in a hospital recently, and I didn't have my Bible right there with me, and I reached down to get a Bible out of the drawer, and I was going to read this scripture, and the whole chapter of the fourth chapter of Malachi wasn't even in this Bible. And it hadn't been torn out. It just wasn't printed in there. It wasn't part of that Bible. Fourth chapter of Malachi, first verse says, For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now I'm thankful today for this Son of Righteousness. The natural sun gives the light, the heat, it revives, it cheers, it fruitifies the whole creation. So Christ, now the natural sun is a natural sun, but this sun is the Son of Righteousness. Not just any sun, so to speak. This is the Son of Righteousness. This is the Son of holiness. This is the Son of godliness. This is the Son of power. This is the Son of glory, so to speak. This is the Son that is risen for you and I. It said, shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Praise God. This is not just any entity. This is not just anybody, so to speak. This is the one and only Jesus Christ the righteous that is risen, praise God, with healing in his wings, praise the Lord. Healing for you and I. Healing that we can have anything we need today. He's got it for you and I. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the various healings that the Lord has for you and I. Jesus is not limited in any way. His healing is extended in every way. Heart, soul, mind, and body. In anything, any angle, any avenue, the Lord has the power to heal you and I and to do the things that we need you to do. It said, look and live. Praise God. We need to look to Jesus and nestle up under his wings and get healed. Praise the Lord. He's wanting to heal everybody. He has the power to heal everybody. It's his delight, his blessing to heal people. There was a man in the hospital one time. He was on his deathbed. The priest had just come in and administered the last rites. Man said he walked in a black robe. He administered the last rites and he walked out. He said in a little bit, he said another priest walked in the room. He said he walked right through the wall. He walked around the end of this man's bed and he got up to his head and he bent over and he said, you have no problem at all. Is all you need is faith in Jesus Christ. And he turned around and he walked right back through the wall and left that man. That man's faith was inspired. He looked up and began to repay and repent and everything he needed to do. And God delivered him and healed him and brought him out of there. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, this Son of Righteousness, he don't walk around in black colors. He walks around in beautiful, glorious light. He's pure, he's holy, he's righteous, he's godly, and all you and I need to do is get close to him, and he'll bless your soul. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So Christ, by his Spirit, by the influence of his grace and Spirit, will quicken, awaken, enlighten, warm, invigorate, heal, purify, refine every soul that believes in him. The healing is for every need that you and I could have. Can we take that in? Sometimes people get to hurting and one way or another and they think, I've got to do something. Yeah, we do. Go to the Son of Righteousness. That's the one we need to go to right there. He is not restricted in any way. I know I say this over and over, but I believe it. I've practiced it for a number of years. I've never yet to have Jesus tell me, I cannot help you, praise God. Every time I go to him, it may take some time. I may have to pray. I may have to fast. But bless God, when I touch the hem of the garment and he comes down, that takes care of the problem, praise the Lord. We had a situation a number of years ago. I lived in Oklahoma City and they were going to build the Arcadia Lake. Well, I'd heard all the stories about how far everything was going to come, where it was going to stop, and how much land they were going to buy. And that was going to be quite a few feet north of me. They were going to purchase property down almost to my property line on the north side of my place. And they were going to stop. Well, so I was out one day, and my neighbor come up to me, and she goes, Carl. I said, yes, Linda. Said, why hadn't you been to the meetings? I said, what do you mean? I don't need to go to no meetings. It's not bothering me. She looked at me, and she said, yes, sir, it is. I said, what do you mean, Linda? She said, well, they've changed the plans. Oh, I didn't know that. They changed the plans and they're going to buy now all the way down through your property to the south side and you're going to lose everything you got. Well, I went to my business the next morning. Had my little gas station down there at 50th and I-35 and I went down there and to say the least, I was pretty heavy hearted. And I was hurting and down, I just heavy hearted. That's the best way to put it. And I went in that office, got everything opened up and everything, and I went in that office, and things were real slow that morning, and I knelt. I just sat down in my chair, and just bent over my desk, and I just poured out my heart. And while I was praying, the Lord reached down just like this, and he took all of that care and everything, and he got a hold of it like that, and he just lifted the whole thing. Woo! Praise the Lord. I tell you, I come up from there, I was blessed, I was encouraged, I was strengthened, and that property still belongs to the owners, praise God. I didn't lose it. When I moved in 98, I sold it after a while and got rid of it. But the bottom line is, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. For you and I, no matter what you need today, he's able to heal you and encourage you. One of the number one things that people need healing of is the soul. Yes. Romans 10 and 13. Romans 10 and 13. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, sometimes people make this whole program of God and Christ, everything, they make it difficult, but it's really not that difficult. It is set up where anybody can get a hold of Jesus. They just cry out, beg, plead, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Touch me, heal me, and begin to cry aloud and beg for mercy with a contrite and a repentant heart and calling on the name of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you that Son of Righteousness, praise God, will heal them and deliver them and raise them up and out of the molly grub, out of the depths of sin, put them on a highway of holiness and do something good for them, praise God. Oh, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall. Didn't say might be, but said shall be saved. Thank the Lord. There's healing in for the soul. Now then, 6 and 23 of the good book of Romans. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. Now this is a season of giving. And God's done outgive everybody, praise God. He gave the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind. I don't know about you, but when I got it, it far surpassed anything I've ever gotten. Daddy bought us cars, not me personally, but the family. He bought us cars for Christmas. He bought us this and that. I even still have some of the gifts that he's given me as a child on up in my home and so forth. But the bottom line, when Jesus come along in 1971, and that night at night, down in October, after I've been there, and Lloyd Act tried to pray with me or get me to pray for 3 hours. I don't know if you remember that, but we were there at the station, and I refused. I rejected. And dear Brother Lloyd, he done everything he could do to get this old boy to pray, and I kept refusing. And I got in the car and locked up, and we went home, and the Lord kept talking, and he kept dealing, and he kept calling. He showed me this and that. When I got home and went to bed, I couldn't go to sleep. Finally, I rolled out of bed on my knees and began to beg for mercy. I didn't know very much, but the Son of Righteousness arose, and he healed my soul. Praise God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I'm going to tell you, the gift of God is a mighty fine gift. It's eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ. It's through the Son of Righteousness. It's through him, see. And not through anybody else. It's just through the Lord. Another scripture, Acts the 4th chapter. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He said the name of the Lord is as a strong high tower, said the righteous runneth into it and are saved. Praise God. Oh, today you and I, we are able to run into under these wings, so to speak. The Son of Righteousness arrived with healing in his wings. Listen, Lord, dear one, we can nestle up under this and get up close to the Lord, where that warmth, where that power, where that glory is. Praise God. Mary, she wanted to sit at Jesus' feet. And Martha, she was busy. I'm going to tell you, the world's too busy. We need to nestle up under the wings of the Son of Righteousness and get all the healing, praise God, that we need, soul, body, heart, and mind. Brother Kimball, he was under conviction. The Lord was dealing with him. He didn't maybe totally know what was going on. But people tell him, said, well, I think God's dealing with you. Well, Brother Kimball, well, maybe then something else had happened. Somebody say, he's dealing with you. Well, he didn't really know. All right. One day he decided to nestle up under the wings of the Lord. And he went into a closet, so to speak, and fasted for 3 days and prayed and sought God and got closer and closer and he made contact, praise God. And when he did, the flow of salvation delivered him, praise the Lord. Praise God. You saw the results of that. You saw how the Lord helped him and blessed him. Oh, it said there's not another name anywhere that we can call on beside Jesus that'll get us salvation. Nestle up under the wings. Get close to Jesus Christ, praise God. Oh, and he'll do something for you. Oh, he wants to do something. The Son of Righteousness, real righteousness, praise God. Real righteousness. All right, let's go to Luke, the 4th chapter. Luke, the 4th chapter, 18th verse. Now there's healing for the soul. There is people out there in the world that if they had real deliverance, that we wouldn't have the world we're living in. The problem of it is they're joining churches and filling them up and raising their hands and shouting and living like the devil. They need to get real healing. And if they got real healing and real deliverance of the soul, their lives would be changed. And we'd have a different world, praise God. A real different world. We wouldn't have to worry about locking the cars all the time and the houses all the time. I got a call last night from a brother in the congregation. He said, I want you to know they're stealing copper again, Carl.
They're stealing dough.
They went down to the little Meeker Lake, and they've got three ball fields there, I think it is, and they play ball and so forth, and I guess they've got a ball association. I don't know anything about that much. But anyway, they went in there, and they stripped copper here and stripped copper there. They tried to break into the concession stand, steal copper there. They couldn't get that, but they done thousands of dollars worth of damage over probably $200 worth of copper. I'm going to tell you, that stuff would stop if people got salvation. If their soul was delivered, they need to be delivered from the sin, the corruption, addiction. That's what I want. They need to be delivered from the addiction that people are in today. There is people that's so addicted to cigarettes, to alcohol, to music. There's people, I'm going to get hit here. There's people addicted to their cell phones. Sitting there texting all the time, texting, driving. I have warned my daughters, don't do that. And I still think Cynthia likes to do it, driving down the road, texting. I drive down the road and talk sometimes. I nearly got in trouble one night. I nearly was in a wreck talking to Brother Vader McMillan. Coming into an intersection, I wasn't paying close enough attention. It just about got me in trouble. But people are addicted to various things. And the Lord has the power to break that addiction. Has the power to deliver from that addiction. Has the power to set that soul free. To give them something they don't have otherwise. The Son of Righteousness. The one that's risen. Praise God. The one that's given the most beautiful colors to the world. The most beautiful colors to people's lives. The most beautiful radiation flowing out of people's lives. It come because the Son of Righteousness has risen. Praise God. And done what nobody else can do for individuals. Son of Righteousness shall arise. I'm thankful for this Son of Righteousness. Alright, 4 and 18 of Luke. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me. This is talking about Christ. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach the deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. To heal the brokenhearted.
Amen.
Now, there's people out there that their hearts are hurting. There's thousands of people out there with their hearts hurting. The Lord comes to heal the broken in heart. Heal the broken in heart, he said. He'd heal the broken in heart and what? Bind up their wounds. Praise God. Heal them, deliver, bless them, and help them. He's got more ways, the Son of Righteousness. The thing about it is the warmth glow of the love and the power of Jesus Christ. When he comes down and starts working with your soul, it's such a warming and invigorating warmth and such glory that the only thing you can do when you're seeking God and desiring him is just to melt before him. Oh, to heal the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted this afternoon? Have you had things that has happened to you that's left you shattered and broken and injured and wounded? I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants to heal that. Praise God. I've had him do it. There's people here that's had him do it. They were hurt. There was things happened to them. And I don't want to go maybe to a list of it. But the Lord just comes down in his tender, warm ways and just takes that all away. Matter of fact, he's the only one I know can do it. Time is a healer. But this healer can do it instantly. He can do it instantly. We don't have to wait for time to heal it. Praise God. Like I said a while ago, when I was hurt by my place, I thought I was going to lose it. I loved my little place there. I didn't want to sell it to a lake program. I wanted to keep it. I wanted to live there. I loved that community. I loved the people there. But then the Lord, he come down and just gingerly, warmly touched me. Now, Sister Mary was asking about the brothers holding the sister's hands, their wife's hands. I'm going to tell you, there's strength in that. There's strength in hugs. When Rebecca had her nervous breakdown, she's probably never got so many hugs in her life. And my wife and I hugged one another quite a bit. But she needed that.
There was something in a hug when she was, her nerves were just going to pieces on her. There was strength and security.
And I didn't know a whole lot to say. Now, I've been through enough now that I've got quite a bit of understanding, but this was one of the scariest things I've ever dealt with. And I tell you why, because it affected her mind.
And so I would tell her, like I said, I didn't understand all of it, a little of it, but I would say, honey, it's going to be all right. Jesus is going to help you. You're going to be fine. I gave her encouragement. I gave her strength. I gave her hugs. I held her. I held her hand. Whatever it is, I'm going to tell the Lord. When we nestle up under the wings of Jesus, praise God, and He gets a hold of us, all that warm grasp and grip of the hand of God, it's beyond anything else, praise God. Oh, I said heals a broken heart. Heals that heart, praise God. Heals it, heals it, heals it. I'm thankful that He's able to heal the broken heart. There is women crying on their pillows. There is men crying on their pillows because of what a wife or a husband's done to them. There's children. There's children out there crying. I'm going to tell you a little song. And maybe some of you have heard this song. There was four young ladies sung it in Holly Hill one time. And it's talking about a little girl that had a daddy that was all involved in drugs. And there was one night that he was doing things, and if I'm not mistaken, he ended up killing the mother right there in front of the little girl. The little girl was hiding behind the couch, and she was back there, and this violence was going on. And the little girl ended up in the grandparents' hands or somebody's hand, and they went to church, I believe it was, and she saw this picture, and this picture was Jesus. And the little girl looked at it, and she said, "I know that man. I know him personally." And they looked at it and said, "How do you know him personally?" She said, "He was back behind the couch with me. When our daddy was killing the mama, he was back there with me. Praise God. He was in the fiery furnace. He was with everybody that needs him. Praise God. Jesus, the Son of Righteous, has got healing and power for every broken heart in the world. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. Yes, He healeth the broken heart. He binds up their wounds. Oh, I'm going to tell you, that little child was hurting. When them girls got through singing that song, nearly everybody in that chapel was in tears. Because they can sing it better than I can tell it. It's been a while since I heard it. But just the thought of that child. But she wasn't alone, praise God. Young people, you're not alone. You got Jesus. You got the Son of Righteousness that's arisen. That's alive, that's powerful, that's yours, praise God. And you're going to meet some things, and I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but I've lived long enough now that you're going to meet some things. But if you'll seek the Son of Righteousness, He'll take you through, praise God, and He'll be right there with you every time you need Him. Praise God. Oh, He shall arise with healing in His wings. Power, praise God. I'm going to tell you, when He come out of that tomb, I'm going to tell you that tomb wasn't big enough to hold Him. It wasn't big enough to do anything. It had to surrender the Son of God. He comes forth in glory, praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for the power of Jesus Christ. Oh, He come out with glory and power. Everybody had to stand back. Oh, the soldiers fell down as dead. Oh, the Son of Righteousness shall rise. And then Mary met Him, wasn't it? And this one met Him, and that one met Him. Because Jesus was coming out alive and with power and with glory. And then He stayed. Like Brother Ed, all that was rich this morning. He telling what He done for the disciples before the Holy Ghost came, praise God. He was still taking care of His church even after He's arisen. He's still taking the church today. Oh, I love that scripture. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, and we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need.
I'm thankful for that Jesus today that allows us, calls us, pleads with us, come to me. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest, praise God. I'll give you whatever you need. 22nd chapter of Revelations. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. But in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The leaves of the tree. The fruits of the tree. Now there's people that have mind problems, and I don't mean mentally, but they have distresses of mind because of things they've gone through. The Lord's able to heal people.
Amen.
No matter what it is of the mind, of the things that they've gone through, and I've never been there, and Lord willing, I'll never go, but they say the poor soldiers that go overseas, they come back, they're different. I've heard that some of the story, read some of it, of soldiers that come back wounded, maybe have an amputation or whatever, and it literally is hard for them to readjust, and sometimes their companions and them cannot even survive because of what they've gone through, and flashbacks and all of these kind of things. People have been in drugs. I'm going to tell you, alcohol, whatever it might be, anything that could affect the mind. The Lord's able to heal that, praise God. He's able to heal that. He said healing. Healing of the nations. Healing of anything, praise God. He's able to give that healing. And it's every month, all year long. If you have anything that's come up that is a hard place that you're going through mentally, so to speak, you can just reach up there and start getting something, and the Lord can heal that. He can heal that, praise God. Oh, today I'm thankful for the risen Savior. Matthew 4 and 23. Now let's go to the body. Like I said, this healing is not just for one thing. Praise God, Jesus come, the Son of Righteousness is risen Savior to heal everything. Anything that you've got. And the thing of it is, you go to doctors, and doctors will tell you a lot of times your local specialist, not specialist, but your local MD, you go to him, he may examine you, and well, you got this and that, I want to send you to a specialist. I want you to go there and see Jack, the specialist over there. And he knows all about hearts.
Yeah.
And he can take care of that. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jesus is the specialist. And he don't send you anywhere but to him, praise God. He just wants you and I to come to him. He's risen. He's got power and glory. And he wants to touch and heal. No matter what you and I are suffering with, he's able to take care of that, praise God. And it's not only the big things, but he wants the little things. Young people, I want to challenge you. Take your needs to Jesus. Learn to trust in him. There was one sister one night, Becky and I got a call about, I don't know, 12, 1, 2 o'clock, morning. I don't remember what it was. She needs prayer. Well, we got up and went to prayer. Well, they didn't wait a little while. They just jumped in the car and took off. And they got down to the doctor of the hospital, wherever they went down there, the hospital. And if she would have waited about 30 minutes, the Lord answered prayer before she got there. But she went on in, and she sat down, and the doctor come in. He said, what's wrong with you? Nothing. All pain's gone. And he looked at her, and she looked at him and said, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. She shouldn't have went. You call first. You have faith first. You pray first. You look to God first. Leave the rest of it all. Go to the Son of Righteousness. And as healing in his way, praise God. He can do things faster than a doctor can.
That's right.
Oh, thank the Lord. And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought into him all sick people that were taken with divers, various diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he, what?
Healed.
Healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Do you know why they followed him? Because they heard about him. You and I have been taught this for years. Some of you young people hear this is all you know. Your mom and daddy have raised you this way from the cradle up. But they were raised this way. There have been young people, there have been children, there have been babies that I've seen in meeting that needed prayer. And they brought them to the altar and the Lord has touched them instantly and taken care of everything. We just went on with service, praise God. Oh, there's been many times that the Lord has touched people during meeting or whatever. And he said there that he healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. All, everything, complete, totally, whatever it is. Like I said, what is he? He's a specialist of specialists. He specializes in anything you need help in. Heart, soul, mind, and body. If you need help in your body, he knows what to do. Listen, folks, he done the first heart transplant. He done it before man, before any doctors here or overseas was doing it.
Yes.
The first eye transplant, so to speak, the first lung transplant, anything that needs healing and taking care of the body, the Lord was first. He created the body. He knows more about it than anybody else does. And so consequently, he says, come unto me. Bring your needs to me. These people heard about Jesus. And where were they going? They were going there because they heard that he could do what nobody else could do. Now then, man's got medicine. And medicine, they say, can do a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you, medicine's doing a lot of damage to people. Well, I'm taking this. This side effect's affecting that. That's affecting that. That's affecting that. I've told people what you need to do is throw that stuff in the trash can. Leave it alone. And you say, well, Brother Carl, I don't want to trust the Lord. The best thing you can do is trust God for your body, for your soul, for your mind. I'm going to tell you, he does better than anybody I know. And I've been doing this nearly 39 years. Well, over 39 years now. And the Lord has never failed. When I needed help from God, he has come and he's blessed. He's touched, he's healed, he's relieved. Whatever the need may be, the Son of Righteousness has been there to take care of me. He is still in the healing business in 2010/11. He's still healing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to encourage you, he's risen, he's got power. Listen, there's no doctor alive that died for your heart, soul, mind, and body. No doctor's died for you. There had been some people, I guess, through the years has died for their companion or their children. But the bottom line is, Jesus died personally for you to heal you in every way you need. Praise God. All manner. Everything. Everything that you have need of physically, he can heal it. He's done it. He's raised the dead. They set out in California many years ago. And Brother Chandler, I believe, had a sister. And she died. Now the Lord told him, and Sister Nelda may know more of this, and Sister Bonnie may know more about this than I do. But anyway, she died. But before she died, I believe it was, the Lord told Brother Chandler, I'm going to raise her up. So what happened? She died. They wanted to, of course, get her and take her. And no, you don't touch her. You leave her right in there. So they left her in there and he got key, I don't know who all,
ministers, saints that had faith. And they gathered around her and they prayed for her, and they prayed for hours. From the morning till sometime in the afternoon, I've been told. And the Lord raised her. Now she was thoroughly dead. It wasn't a thing where in 30 minutes, this went for several hours. She was completely dead. And then the Lord raised her up, and when she come walking out of that room, I've heard people have run out the doors of that house. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, the Lord can still raise the dead today. Praise God. It doesn't matter what it is. The Lord is superior. He come out of that grave. He conquered hell. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He's conquered everything. So consequently, no matter what it is, He's done conquered it, and He's able to heal you. Praise God. Let's see, Mark the 6th chapter. Mark 6 and 54. I like this reading right in here too. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets. And they besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. He healed them. He took care of them. He done what they needed, praise God. As many as touched him. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Now what is it? Isn't it 91 of Psalms? Let's get that. I hadn't planned to get that, but I think it's 91 of Psalms, isn't it? Where it says here that, it's talking about in 91, 90. We're talking about the hen. Okay, 491, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Oh, today he wants you just to nestle up under there. Get up under there, touch him. I challenge you to pray till you touch him. Have you ever done that? Young people, have you ever prayed? Do you know you touch God? You just stayed right there, Sister Lewis, and you prayed. You knew you touched Jesus, and you knew he touched you. I'm going to tell you, that's an experience everybody needs to know over and over and over. I touched Jesus, and Jesus blessed me. I'm going to tell you, the devil will do everything he can to stop you. He will do everything to get your mind off, to get the phone ring and whatever. But I'm going to tell you, just like the little woman that was in the crowd with the issue of blood, she got in there and she kept working her way. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, praise God. And when she worked her way through all the difficulty and she touched that hem, Jesus healed her body. He's still doing that today, folks. Touch him. Nestle up under those wings. I want to challenge you to pray till you pray through. Amen. Pray till you know you've touched God. All right, let's go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Forgiveness. The Lord wants to help people to be able to forgive. Unforgiveness is very destructive. It damages everything from the home outward. It's separated couples. It separated mothers and fathers. It separated grandparents and grandchildren. It's done great damage down through the years. And he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now he's given the command. But he wants you to nestle up to him, and he's able to help you to forgive. Some of you have heard my testimony, and I don't know that I'll go into it today. But the Lord done that with me a number of years ago.
I had struggled
for a long time. I thought I'd forgiven these people for what they'd done to me. And I struggled with it. And I thought it. Then I'd go along and say, I'm not forgiving them yet. I thought I had. Uh-huh. And this went on for a good while. And finally, I told the Lord, Lord, you got a key to this thing. Listen, folks, the Son of Righteousness has got any key you need for him to unlock the door. And send in whatever you need. And so consequently, I was seeking and I was praying and I was pleading and crying and begging. I think I was even fasting and praying. And the Lord come down. When I was on a trip back to, I was going to Webb City, I believe it was. And I stopped at the midway of the Will Rogers. I by myself, wife and children wasn't with me. And I stopped there on the Will Rogers, turned back. And I got back in the van and the Lord sat down right beside me. I got on the interstate and he started talking. And I guarantee you I was listening. He said, when somebody dies, child, what do you do? I said, you put them in a casket. He said, then what do you do? I said, well, you may all live down. He said, then what do you do? I said, you dig a hole and you bury it. He said, then what you do? I said, you put a grave marker up. He said, that's what you need to do with every person. In other words, I had to die to self in every situation that I was in. And so I began. I named them by name. And the tears were streaming. And I was holding on to the wheel with this hand of that man. And anybody that passed me that saw me going like this probably thought I was crazy. But I tell you, I was nailing. I was burying. I was raising a gravestone. And praise God, when I got down to the last one, I had victory, praise the Lord. And that victory still works today. Christ, praise God.
Amen.
I was able to do it. Well, I went on to Webb City and had service there. And then I'd called dear brother James Bell and I went to Sepulpa that night. And they were so gracious and kind and warmly received us. And I don't know if Trish has ever heard me tell this, but I got up in the pulpit that night to preach. And it was like warm oil flowing from here right through the bottom of my feet. Best I remember, from the time I started anyway to the end of that message, it was just warm. I could just feel it flowing through my body, through my soul. And I'm going to tell you, it was such a blessing. To me, that was a final unction of, child, I've healed you totally. I've healed you, praise God. And I know it is because it's worked for many, many years. I don't have the struggle. I don't have the battle. Oh, thank the Lord. He wants to help you to forgive. He wants to bless you and help you in every way. All right, let's go to the good book of Psalms. Let's begin to wrap it up now. 84th chapter of Psalms. About the ninth verse here, 84 and 9. Said, behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is a man that trusteth in thee. Praise God. He's a sun and a shield, praise God. He's not only that risen Savior, he's not only that Son of Righteousness, but he's also a shield for you and I. He said he will give you grace and glory. I want to ask you young people, how much glory have you ever had from God? In 1987, when we were sick back in West Virginia, one day we were, I don't know who put it on, but Brother Sam and somebody put on a tape of the saints singing. And they got on that number, I think it's 268. Be Strong and True. I believe that's it. And that was playing, and the Lord come down.
And he started pouring glory into my soul, and I couldn't hardly stand it. I was about to explode there because of the glory that was coming down. I was shouting. I was praising God. I was rejoicing. Just be strong and true. Hang on. Don't quit. I've got you, child. Just keep going for God. Praise the Lord. Another time in the same instance, some people say, well, I just want to go to the doctor. I'm going to tell you the glory is with Dr. Jesus. The Son of Righteousness, praise God. That Son, that Jesus, that Savior is the one that's got all the glory, no matter what it is in the affliction. It's not in the doctor's offices, it's in Dr. Jesus' office. Oh, dear ones, the glory. I was sitting there. Sister Salmons and Sister Rebecca was in the kitchen of the Salmons' home, and I was sitting there. And all of a sudden, the Lord come by. And again, he poured in glory. I was shouting and crying at the same time. I mean, literally, I usually do one or the other. That time, I'm doing both at the same time. And Rebecca goes, she jumped up and was coming in and said, "You all right?" I said, "I'm fine. Dear Jesus just passed by. Praise God." Oh, I'm going to tell you, he gives grace and glory, dear ones. He gives abundant of it. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with grace and glory and power for your heart, soul, mind, and body. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. Let me give you another scripture over here in Romans, the 8th chapter. And Brother Veda gave me this one day by accident, so to speak. It said, "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Praise God. All things. Get this, see, how's he said over here? He said he will not hold from them. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Praise the Lord. When I was a boy, I was pretty good at getting Daddy to buy me ice cream and soda pops and chips. We'd be on a vacation. I didn't do it on an everyday basis, but we'd be on a vacation. And I knew that was soda time. And we had soda pops and so forth. But, you know, daddies love their little boys and their little girls. And if the girls and the boys know how to work their parents, they usually get some things out of them. Here, I need a soda. Well, back then, it was like 10 cents maybe or 15. Now then they're about $1, $1.50, you know. Can't hardly afford to buy them. Now it's a good old glass of water. But anyway, the Lord, he wants to give us anything we need. Oh, I want to impress on us, he wants to do that, dear ones. He wants to give us everything. We have needs, heart, soul, mind, and body, physical, emotional, and mental. And the Lord wants to give us everything we need to heal that. Praise the Lord. All right, let's move along. 33 of Deuteronomy. 33 and 13 of Deuteronomy. He said, and of Joseph, he said, "Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that croucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills." Now, this is talking about the natural sun here, I'd say. The precious fruits brought forth by the sun. And for the precious things brought forth by the moon. Listen, saints, today, with the Son of Righteousness, this is where the real fruits of God come from. Amen. Right. He comes down and invigorates and warms and helps us to produce fruits in times of trial and hard places that we couldn't do otherwise. That's one of the things of the Son of Righteousness arising. He has got a whole orchard, so to speak, of people that are producing good fruit, praise God, whereby when people look on, they say, "Hey, I want some of that." Just like I said once in this meeting, one sister told us here, there's more than one setting the table there, and we were sitting there, family, and she told the name of a lady, her grandmother by marriage, and she met her, and she was impressed with her so much, she told her husband, said, "I want what she's got." And she got it too. And I'm going to tell you, this little lady, as far as I know, lives a lot. I've got confidence in her. And she saw that person. And she desired it. I'm going to tell you today, we need to live a life that causes people to desire what we've got. To desire it, praise God. To be able to pick up some good fruit and say, this is mighty good. Just like that fellow that was trying to sell apples on the train, and he couldn't get anybody to buy an apple. And so he handed one to one person or two. He said, you eat these like they're good, like you're enjoying them. And they started in. And in a little bit, they, I want one. I'm going to tell you, praise God, the people are picking the fruits of the saints, and they're enjoying it, and this is enjoying it, and that was enjoying it, and that gets the attention of other people, praise God, and they say, I want the very same thing they got. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. He placed my feet upon a rock, and he established. No, I ain't quoting that right. I ain't quoting it quite right. Let me get that. Psalms 40, I believe it is. He said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my going. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praised me unto God. Many shall sin and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I'm going to tell you, they see that fruit. They see that praising. I'm going to tell you, I've been saying it for years, and you know it. I think we're a little too quiet. I think we need to rejoice just a little bit more. That gets people's attention. Good praise the Lord's don't hurt anybody. Brother Fred Pruitt was standing there one day. I was told I went in to buy an electric razor. He was standing down there, and a guy had to climb up on the shelf to get the razor. And Brother Fred said, praise the Lord. And that man looked down at him. What you praising God for? I tell you, while I'm praising God, Jesus bought me a razor. Praise the Lord. Now, most likely today, young people, you just go buy one. You wouldn't have to pray it down or anything. You just write out a checkbook and go get it. But I'm going to tell you, back then, it was harder times and not so easy. But I'm going to tell you today, Jesus still wants you and I to praise God. He wants us to praise the Lord and thank God for what He does for us. 1 and 11 of Malachi. From the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Now the reason his name is great among the Gentiles and among the heathen, because he's a risen Savior. And also from the fact of that you and I have preached that gospel, and well, it started back there with the disciples and Paul and so forth, and that has continued on down through today, and that name has been lifted up, that name has been prayed over and prayed to and called out and worked with, and people have seen that, and they've responded to that, and it's made that name great among the Gentiles. Made it great among the heathen, praise God. Oh, today, Lord help us. Son of righteous shall arise. I want you to take this scripture home. If you don't remember anything else I say, I want you to memorize that scripture. I use that scripture a lot in praying for people. It's a wonderful scripture. The Son of righteous shall arise with healing in his wings. Oh, let's see, 13th chapter of Matthew. 13 and 43 of Matthew. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Praise God. Oh, the righteous shining forth because Jesus is shining on them. Shining forth, praise God. Lord, help us to shine for the Lord. Are you shining for God? Could people convict you for being a saint? If they put you to trial because you was a saint of God, would they have enough evidence on you to convict you for being a saint? Or would they get up there and say, no, I don't know, I didn't do nothing. Oh yeah, they do. I heard him praying over there the other day. Why, he got down just like Daniel. He poured his heart out to God, and I saw God answer prayer for what he was praying for. Yeah, we can convict him. We got something to convict him about. Oh, today, Lord help us. Lord, help us. 113 of Psalms in closing. 113 of Psalms, 113. Praise the Lord. Praise you, ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above all heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself, behold the things that are in the heavens, in the earth. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the needy out of the dunghill. That he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. He maketh the barren women to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Now I have said, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. In other words, a continual pattern. The Lord's name is to be praised. We need to praise this Son of Righteousness, saints. We need to praise Him every day for what He's done. Praise God. He paid a high price for your salvation. He done something that nobody else would do. He was born. He lived. He was crucified. He went in the tomb and He's a risen Savior. The Son of Righteousness shall rise. He's risen for you and I. He died for you and I. He loves you and I. He wants to do things for you and I that nobody else wants to do. Son of Righteousness shall rise. With healing in His wings. We can trust Him for any need. Thank the Lord.